Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness. Brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation on the web at www.foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I can feel you like an ocean that won't seem to let me go. 'Cause when I look to the sky, something tells me you're here with me. You make everything.
And welcome to Signs of Life Radio, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation. The number here is 1-888-815-9756. Welcome to The Gathering, our live afterlife discussion group. I'm Bob Ginsberg, and I'm joined by Tom and Melissa Gould and Fran Ginsberg. Hello, everybody.
Hello, Bob.
Hi, Bob.
And tonight's topic will be Hollywood and the afterlife. We're going to be talking about films and TV and different themes and the way some of the things we talk about have snuck into the media. And before we get started, I also wanted to mention to those of you who received our newsletter, and those if you haven't gotten it yet, we are going to do another foundation experiment. You know, we've done four or five of them. We're unfortunately, they've been few and far between, but they've always been exciting. So I would encourage you to either read about it in a newsletter or go on the website. There's a burst right on the home page, and you can read about it. It's a mediumship experiment. We're all going to try to be our own mediums. I won't go into great detail about it, except that it's going to involve ordinary people, so to speak. We all have this ability, and we're going to try to pick up messages that we're going to share, because the messages that we get through may not be for us, but they may be for others in our close-knit membership group. So, again, you can find that on the website, foreverfamilyfoundation.org. And tonight's topic is going to be the Hollywood and the afterlife. Now, the first thing that comes to mind with Hollywood is movies. I know that TV shows, we can talk about the medium and Ghost Whisperer and things, but there have been some classics that have had themes like near-death experiences and the afterlife, and the one that comes to mind first is The Wizard of Oz.
Because
she gets hit on the head, and the whole thing could have been a near-death experience.
Yeah, I mean, you think about it. You know, she gets clunked in the head, right? She goes through a tunnel. She goes into an enchanted wonderland, which is like a heavenly, you know, experience. She meets unusual, you know, beings, and she eventually returns. Well, that sounds like a classic near-death experience to me. But of course, watching it 5 million times before I became aware of this stuff, that was the furthest thing that I got out of the movie. I don't know about you. Did you ever read anything into it? Were you?
No, I was
a nice story.
Fan of it from the time.
Yeah, I know you were.
Watch it on TV, and I even watched it on the black and white TV as a kid. Even when the part comes where it turns to color. Wow, it was still great, but never associated it with the afterlife or a near-death experience. Hmm. I did get angry, though, that the Good Witch waited all the way till the end of the movie to tell her she could have gone home all along. All she had to do was click her little...
That really pissed Fran off. Every year she says that to me. Well,
lessons to learn, Fran, along the way.
And by the way, you know, we're going to be mentioning some movies, and I know my memory is not great, and anybody that wants to help us out and out there in listening land, just give us a call and join in at 1-888-815-9756. There's another classic movie, while we're on classic movies, you know, It's a Wonderful Life.
Yeah. Well,
all right? I mean, basically brings into play guardian angels.
Yes.
I guess, you know, the premise of the main character is trying to end his own life or thinking he always ends his own life, and the guardian angel starts showing him
Now, isn't it interesting that it's to start off the show that you have picked two movies that are probably more watched movies than any other two movies? Is it every single year, what's in the springtime, you've got your Wizard of Oz, and at the end of the year, you've got The Wonderful Life. It's always,
right.
Those two are always on TV.
Most people only think they're looking at those movies as a nice, entertaining, you know, heartwarming, you know, but they don't, they're not necessarily thinking in terms of life reviews and, you know, and
but it does speak loudly. I mean, if that's the question, and people are so comfortable with these stories, and they relate to them and say, that's a good way to live your life. You know, well, gee, isn't that what this whole spiritual afterlife thing is about? Kind of showing us how we should be living our lives?
Yeah, I think so, exactly.
So whether they're going to associate it with that or not, at least maybe it is teaching a lesson.
They're getting the lesson innately.
Yeah, and there's another part of that trio of classics, A Christmas Carol.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Dickens.
And I don't think I've seen that for 30 years, so, I mean, but it's not fresh in my mind, but, you know, what I remember is Scrooge, you know, getting help from also...
through his life as,
right.
as a boy.
They're spirit beings that are taking... Yeah.
He's first visited by an associate, someone he knew, a spirit he knew, who then tells him that he's going to be visited by three more spirits during the night, and those he doesn't know, but then you're right, they take him on a life review, which we've mentioned life review twice now. You have to throw in Albert Brooks.
Yeah. Oh. He's on the list. Defending your life.
Yep. Yeah.
Well, why don't you talk a little bit about that?
Well, that was, I don't know if that was, you know, a lot of people know that movie, but I was certainly an Albert Brooks fan at the time it came out, so I went to see it, and Meryl Streep is in it, so it was a fun movie, and that it was a comic view of two people who meet in the afterlife, Meryl Streep and Albert Brooks, and both of them go through a life review session, and of course Meryl Streep is like Mother Teresa, and her life review is everybody applauding her at every step of the way, and then of course Albert Brooks has to watch his life, which isn't quite as stellar.
Right.
A funny movie.
Yeah. And it was like more like a purgatory situation, right?
Yeah.
Like an in-between lives, like you're not quite where you want to go and you're trying to sort things out.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, there's also a recent one, which was a movie made after a book, The Lovely Bones, right?
I haven't seen the movie, but I did read the book, and the book was great.
Yeah.
I didn't. What I heard about the movie was that it was not so great.
Yeah, we had wanted to see the movie. We read the book as well, and
tried to pass on the movie because we didn't feel it could do it justice.
Right.
It wouldn't have been. I think they were trying to Hollywoodize it. Clearly.
Yeah.
Well, that was what I was going to say about the Albert Brooks movie, is that not only did they make it into a comedy, whereas all these other movies we're speaking about were very serious movies, so to speak, that told a story and taught you lessons, whereas in the comedy, they're kind of mocking everything that goes on. So they're using the afterlife or purgatory just as the basis of the movie. There's no real lessons that are taught there.
Right, yeah. Well, you know, going back to The Lovely Bones, right, my memory's not that great, but I seem to recall, and you'll correct me if I'm wrong, Fran, but very early, many years ago when we went to, I guess the book's been around a while, didn't a therapist give us that book?
Yeah, the book had just come out.
Just came out, and we went
and
to see a grief therapist.
Right,
and
he handed us the book.
Handed us the book, The Lovely Bones. I couldn't figure out why.
I think you'll like it.
Yeah, and then I guess, you know, because it's a book that shows that our loved ones are interactive, you know, and can put thoughts in our head and sort of direct action, you know, and that they still exist and they're clear and lucid.
And the narrator is a spirit in that one.
Yeah.
Right, and she participates in the physical world.
That's right, in solving her own murder.
Yeah, and very often the most effective books are novels, you know, because it's, I mean, obviously it's not a true story, or maybe based upon a true story, but so I think people are more apt to be receptive to certain concepts if it's written as a novel, you know, versus somebody telling you, you know, reading about somebody else's story or somebody telling you the way that it is. So novels can be very effective, you know, when written in a fashion that opens up your mind to these things. I think what we're going to do is take our first break, and when we come back, we're going to be talking about more movies, and we're going to talk about some TV shows and some other good things. So stay with us, and we'll be back in a few.
Has your marketing pitch been missing the strike zone? Maybe you need a new player to help your marketing efforts. At LNRProductions.com, you'll find a team that can give your broadcast advertising the winning edge. LNR Productions has produced award-winning jingles, radio and television commercials for many businesses just like yours. Radio and television advertising work, but you need the right game plan. Make sure you're getting the most out of your ad every time it airs. www.LNRProductions.com. We'll throw strikes for your business every time.
For years, people have been reporting communication from those no longer in our physical world. Historically, science and religion have taught us to ignore such messages. Yet, there is now substantial scientific evidence to the contrary. In response to this, the Forever Family Foundation has developed a sign registry to demonstrate the existence of this other dimension. On our website, people can register signs that they, after passing, plan on communicating to a specific loved one. Upon the registrant's passing, the stored information can be verified by the recipient of these signs. Participants will be taking part not only in a grand scientific experiment, but in providing the greatest gift of all, the knowledge that we survive our physical death. For more information, contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707, or you can find us on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org. Or to register a sign, go directly to thesignregistry.com.
It is with great pleasure that we announce the formation of the Winbridge Institute for Applied Research in Human Potential. Dr. Julie Beischel, Director of Research at Winbridge and one of the premier investigators in the field of mediumship research, reports that the team at Winbridge will continue pursuing the many unanswered questions that remain in the field of afterlife science. Please go to www.windbridge.org to learn more about this groundbreaking research institute. That's www.windbridge.org.
I would like to introduce you to the Forever Family Foundation, a nonprofit organization whose mission is to provide a forum where individuals and families who have suffered the loss of a loved one can turn for support, information, and hope. We believe in the continuity of the family, even though a member has left the physical world. The Forever Family Foundation is a joint effort of scientists, research mediums, and interested people who support the premise that life does not end with physical death. We wish to prove that the bond of the family cannot be broken, even by death. We invite anyone who's trying to cope with the loss of a loved one to contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707. That's 631-425-7707. Or you can find us on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation.
And welcome back to Signs of Life. The number here is 1-888-815-9756. And we're talking about movies and Hollywood and the afterlife and TV shows and near-death experiences of the rich and famous. There are some people, and starting to research a little bit, that have had near-death experiences that don't. I mean, you think about it, you're a celebrity. There's really no plus side for you to talk about your near-death experience, you know, because you have agents and publicists, and they're always telling you it might tarnish your image, you know. So
Right, and I'm sure. But then there are these things that come out. There was an article, I think this is yesterday's paper, where somebody's been selling these bracelets that they make claims about it having properties where it can enhance your performance. So athletes have been buying them, and what the reason for the article is, and it's out of Santa Ana, California, is that somebody got the company to quote unquote admit that this bracelet doesn't work. And really what the guy said is, we admit there is no credible scientific evidence that supports our claim. Because that's basically the same thing we're talking about, the afterlife. There's no credible scientific evidence according to mainstream science. But they're talking that this bracelet has healing properties. And what do they do right away is they publish the list of the people who wear them. Robert De Niro. And so that's what you just made me think of. Did the PR guy say, okay, the bracelet's okay? Or is this like just public record?
Well,
you buy a bracelet, your name's on
the list. Where do you draw the line? Okay, wearing a bracelet that may or may not work is okay, but don't go with that.
Well, I'm sure there was a lawyer involved in that statement. You can't come out and claim that you've got powers or that you're channeling spirit, because courts don't recognize that.
Yeah.
Right.
But I think this is a really cool bracelet to have, because I think it helps you have the confidence. You know, you believe it's going to work. It works.
Yeah.
It's
well,
like
that's some faith. That's faith.
Yeah, that's
exactly in a nutshell.
Isn't that what all these spiritual advisors are selling you in their books and their videos?
Yeah.
It's all you have to do is want it, and
right.
you get it.
Right,
the
exactly.
bracelet is.
The fact that it makes you think about it gets the ball rolling towards that end.
Mm-hmm. Well, when I was reading about some of these so-called famous people that had NDEs, some I heard about, but like one, Jane Seymour, you know, she talks about, when she was 36, she had a severe case of the flu. She had an allergic reaction to the injection of penicillin or some drug, which led to a near-death experience. And she said, I literally left my body. I had this feeling that I could see myself on the bed with people grouped around me. She saw them trying to resuscitate her. She was above them and in the corner of the room looking down. She saw people putting needles in her, trying to hold her down, and her whole life flashed before her eyes. So that was quite a while ago, you know, so that was probably, you know, before a lot of this stuff became popular. Peter Sellers, 1964, he had a rapid series of 8 heart attacks. You know that?
Oh, I didn't know that.
His heart was stopped. He was clinically dead. He had an out-of-body experience and saw a bright, loving light. He said, well, I felt myself leave my body. I just floated out of my physical form, and I saw them cart my body away to the hospital. I went with it. I wasn't frightened. And you know, he goes on and on. But he talks about seeing a hand reach out through the light. You know, and after that, he said that it became the most important experience of his life. He never feared death again, and you know, he sort of changed his priorities. So, I mean, there's more, but I like these ones that are striking, because it's before, you know, Raymond Moody wrote his book, you know, and it was before it was popular, and people, you know, you could sort of rule out them trying to you know, talk about these things from memory of other people's experience, because it wasn't really publicized. The one movie, getting back to movies that I wanted that made a big impression on me, even before I started to contemplate all these things, was Ghost.
Yeah.
I'm sure everybody.
Every movie he's mentioned so far, I've been thinking while we were.
Maybe you're in a telepathic mode. Maybe we should
perhaps. I have to agree with you on that too, because I've all my life have thought about the spiritual and wondered and all that sort of thing. And Hollywood has presented things, you know, like The Wonderful Life and Wizard of Oz, that I never really resonated with me as, oh, yeah, that's probably the way it was. But I agree with you that, I mean, when Ghost came out, it was hugely popular, and which meant that we didn't go see it. And then after a while, we eventually did went to a theater, and you know, we were in another state or something, and yeah, that was the first impression. It's like, wow, this is kind of the way I think it is, you know, and it dealt with it in a way that seemed to be right on the money.
And the thing that I remember most about it was, you know, the ghost, you know, trying to, you know, will itself to physically manipulate, like a coin, like removing the coin, you know, and it's the first time I ever really contemplating that. We talk about that now, you know, we're just talking about that before the show.
That's right.
You know, can spirit move things, you know, psychokinesis can be, you know, from a living agent or a non-living, well, somebody without a body, I shouldn't say non-living.
Right.
So, but I remember, you know, sort of like thinking, wow, it must be really frustrating. I remember thinking that too, you know, to be on the other side and wanting to move something, or you want reach out and touch your loved one who's still here and not quite be able to do it. And then also when they were able to do it, it's like that's an aha moment from the other side, you know.
Right, and we were talking about that the other night when we were discussing the David Thompson, is that his name?
Physical medium.
That people in the room felt that they were being touched, but one person was explaining to us that the touch was not the same way that their son would have touched them. But when you try and understand that the concept from the other side of trying to touch something in the physical world when you're not in the physical world is a challenge, that explains it.
Yeah.
Now, we've had a recent entry into the movie world with, we were talking about it, Hereafter.
Yes.
Hereafter incorporated near-death experiences and a whole bunch of other phenomena. We talk and mediumship, you know, I'm drawing a blank on Matt Damon, was a medium, and it showed
to have a review right here.
Yeah,
the latest.
There is a review in our newsletter.
So
when you go into the newsletter to read about the experiment, you can also read the review on Hereafter.
Yeah.
And I was telling Bob before, I think it's an excellent review. He's really got the essence of it.
Yeah. Well, I think it was a good step for, you know, and as I mentioned in there, you know, I think a friend said it to me, you know, it's refreshing not to have them play the having the Exorcist music playing in the background, you know, and not make it seem like it's paranormal and natural and scary.
Right.
Yeah. And they did a good job with that. And we also talked about it was nice. They painted a fair picture, I thought, of mediumship, you know, and that there are plenty of frauds out there, which we know, and there's also plenty of people that are really adept at what they do. And
they put the human spin on it, that Matt Damon, you could tell when his human was answering and his messages were there, and he was, you know, what you have to deal with any human, whether they're a medium or not, is that their own ego sometimes gets in there and their own agenda, if you will. And so even though they're getting good messages through, that's not always what they're giving the sitter.
Right. And, you know, like any good movie or novel that's segmented, you know, like with several different stories happening at once, in most novels, the author ties them together at the end, and in this movie, the three characters are on separate, seemingly separate pathways, but all come together at the end. Well, you know, but then it raises the picture, the question of whether, you know, it's orchestrated, you know, whether or not these things happen by circumstance and happenstance, or whether it was being directed by many people on the other side, you know, so that was kind of interesting too. The one thing that we did have a problem with was the depiction of the experience itself, the near-death experience, because it did seem not to jive with most of the accounts that people report. You know, with most people report very, very clear, lucid, vivid images, and in the movie it was very cloudy and shadowy, and made it look maybe even a little bit sinister.
It looked more like Close Encounters of the Third Kind.
That's
what it looked like.
Yeah.
Chris, how can you do it cinematically if it's as vivid as they describe? Then you wouldn't know what you were watching on the
Yeah, that's a good point. How do you differentiate? I guess that's the job of the director, but
Yeah, and that's why he would win an award if he were able to portray that.
Right.
So I guess he just said, "Okay, well, I'm not going for the award here. Let's just make him fuzzy little people."
He was Clint Eastwood, and he has racked up several Academy Awards for his directing. So
well, it was with Steven Spielberg, wasn't it?
Who produced it, perhaps, yeah.
I want to know if our son-in-law's favorite movie is on Bob's list. Of
What's that?
Ghostbusters.
Oh, Ghostbusters, I didn't put on there.
We just heard a little interesting backstory about Ghostbusters, or Tom did. Tell what you...
Well, it turns out you were talking about celebrities and why they don't come out and talk about this. Well, the other a week or so ago on the Jimmy Kimmel show, one of the guests was Dan Aykroyd, who's doing the voice of Yogi Bear. And it got into a discussion of what started off with Dan Aykroyd is the spokesperson for UFON, the UFO Network, which is basically trying to do what we are doing with Spirit, with UFOs, to scientifically prove that there's UFOs. But he also mentioned that his father has written a book called The History of Ghosts. And Dan Aykroyd went on to say, yeah, we had, when I was a kid, we had basically a live-in medium in our family, and we used to do seances out in the barn, and to him it was just a part of life, and his father is writing a book about it, and he said that it was his inspiration for doing Ghostbusters.
So his father was the live-in medium, so to speak?
No, his father had a live-in.
Oh, you know, so there actually
the family,
was a medium.
There was a medium who some... I guess the story was they met at something, and the medium says, you know, that I think I can be helpful to you.
Cool.
And the father was a professor or something like that, and he thought so too, and so just sort of invited him in, and he stayed, and now he's writing books about
it. Well, and the book is out.
Later.
I've got the book.
It would have been helpful if he wrote the book back then. Look how hard everybody's working now to bring this into the forefront, and now he's just going to ride on everybody else's laurels here.
Having heard that, now when people tell me that they have a live-in, I'm going to think twice about what they really have. You know? What about The Sixth Sense?
Oh,
did that make an impression on you? I mean,
yeah,
I
actually did. Yeah,
did.
That was
only because I figured it out before the end.
Yeah,
way before the end.
Well, I'm not as quick as you. I didn't figure it out until the end.
Yeah, that one actually.
You had to know something was up.
I think that one
was so well done that I missed that one too, and I usually figure these things out, but that one, it did surprise me.
I like that. They made it a little spooky too with the cabinets flying open all the time.
Well, it's interesting, you know,
having to hide.
Yeah.
And Bruce Willis being the psychologist, you know, he thought that the boy was delirious, you know, because he was the boy, and then he eventually came to believe what the boy was saying, I see dead people and all that, and then what he encouraged the boy to help people, you know.
There was that young lady, I think, who had passed away, and he went to her wake. There was something
with the box from her bedroom.
No, it revealed that the mother, I think, had been poisoning her.
Yeah.
I'm giving it away to all of our listeners who are checking off Netflix
around for a while.
Been around. We can't blame us now.
Spoiler alert.
Well, and then at the end also he gets to he gets through to his wife who's still in the physical and was able to resolve some issues, you know.
Yeah.
So brought that into play. That was a great movie.
I think so. I'd like to see that again.
Yeah.
Well, maybe we should show that at our grief workshop on May 20th.
Yeah, well, I think most people are familiar with that. Now, what about, I apologize to all those that are young out there, unlike myself, but I grew up watching Topper.
Yeah.
I don't think you should apologize to them. They should be fortunate that you mentioned it, and they should Google Topper.
Right. Get it on DVD.
Like we did.
Yeah. Now, believe it or not, Topper was a very popular TV show that many people watched.
And loved.
And it incorporated two ghosts. George and Marion Kirby, who...
Their dogs.
The St. Bernard, who I think they were all killed in a skiing accident,
yes,
right? And they were a regular part of Cosmo Topper's life, him and his wife. But he could talk to them.
He could see them and talk to them, but nobody else could.
Well, it seemed
that they...
He was the first medium on TV.
Yeah.
They would make themselves unavailable to anyone else. That was the implication.
Disappear.
They would either disappear or kind of fade into the background.
Yeah, but they could walk around in a scene and nobody else would know them. They were there. But I know what you mean, they would, if somebody entered the room, they would be out of the scene and you just hear the voiceovers. That's true, yeah.
So how did we assimilate that show, you know, as kids and young teens? How did we...
We just assumed they were ghosts.
Yeah.
So... Do you recall?
I guess kids who were brought up with a very spiritual background got it, and the rest of us who were not just figured they were ghosts. And then part of our language and our orientation as we were growing up is there must be ghosts because it was on Topper, and so therefore there must be ghosts.
So Topper might have been responsible for changing worldview.
Or for all the nights that I couldn't sleep that there was a ghost in my room.
Was it around that same time of Topper that the Abbott and Costello movies? Was that the one I'm thinking of where they were trying to help somebody through a seance? And I think the ghost was stuck up in a tree or something, and they were using... They didn't have a traditional Ouija board. They used an inverted wine glass, and they put alphabet letters around the table, and they were sliding that around.
What a memory.
It had a big impression on me,
that
movie.
We didn't know you were of that age. Stayed that away.
Well, then there was the Houdini movie with Tony Curtis, who... Then they went into Houdini. I mean, that was a true story. And after Houdini's mother died, that he tried every which way to contact her with seances and that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. And he even vowed that that was going to be his greatest escape, was to come back from the dead.
And talking about getting hearing spirit and being directed, how about Field of Dreams?
Oh, yes.
Where he was... told or he was told or he interpreted, you know, that this was what he was supposed to do. Mm-hmm. And how many times do we hear that from people? You know, they believe that they've got it directly from spirit and this is what they have to do. And maybe sometimes it's very, very clear and they hear a voice, but sometimes it's more subtle, but nevertheless, they change their whole life because of it, you know. So, and boy, it was some project he undertook, you know. So,
yes.
I enjoyed that movie as well. And there was another one, you may remember, Heaven Can Wait.
Warren Beatty.
Warren Beatty. He was a football star.
Yep.
And then he died, but he was taken prematurely by an overzealous guardian angel, I guess, you know. And then all sorts of things, you know, developed after that. He came back in somebody else's body.
Yes,
it was some sinister, like a murderer, you know. So that had a lot into play. There was one I didn't put on this list, and I remember watching it. I don't remember the movie all that well, but Dragonfly.
That's all about it.
You recall a lot of people...
That was with Kevin Costner, and he was married to a woman who was a physician who also happened to be pregnant and was working in another country, an underdeveloped country, on a humanity thing. There was a bus accident, and she dies in this bus accident. And things start to happen to him, and it's a fabulous, fabulous movie with a surprise ending. So if you haven't seen it, you got to go see it. I don't want to give away the ending, but it's a wonderful, wonderful ending, and it's terrific, and it really does show you what he says in the movie, which is all you have to do is believe.
Mm-hmm. See, there are tremendous advantages to somebody like me who has such a bad memory, because I could watch it and it'd be like seeing it for the first time.
Which is why we watch too many movies too many times.
Well, what this common thread, do you think it's just because it makes good movies? Or I want to think that because there is this underlying belief that this is all really real. I don't
Universal truth, I think.
It's just entertainment.
And that it hits the chord. If it didn't ring true, you wouldn't enjoy it as much.
Right. Well, and then there's the flip side, too. They tell you never write about something you haven't experienced.
Yeah.
So you have to make the assumption, maybe, that these writers, producers, directors have some first-hand experience that they need to express in these movies.
Yeah. Well, it's also, look at any survey, you know, 85%, 90% of the people believe, you know, in some sort of an afterlife. So it makes sense to make movies that contemplate it, you know. So, I mean, a lot of it is it's a common thread. I guess economics also enters into it. But I love all these things that we may not realize, like when we were kids at the time, that they were thinking of, which we only realize later. You know, these subliminal messages that got through and affected, even Topper. You know, I mean, it was just entertainment. We're kids. You know, we liked the show. But then again, we walked away with maybe a belief that we, with some hope that we can, you know, survive our physical death. So there weren't a lot of them, but there was some. You mentioned one before, made me laugh. But you know, my mother, the car. That's what, you know.
I liked that.
You know, that was way out. But you know, coming back as a car. You know, I mean, that's really pushing it for me. But
well, what about? I mean, if you want to go for the younger audience, Star Wars. When Obi-Wan dies, he's there at the end of the movie by the fireplace with Yoda and Darth Vader.
And Star Trek had a lot of themes that were a lot of people later, again, that didn't realize it at the time, but then they grew up and went to college and became professors and started writing theses on some of the episodes. So, we're going to continue this. We're going to go to break. We come back, and we're going to be talking about some other celebrities that have had near-death experiences.
And we'll take some calls.
Take some calls, and there are some other late entries in TV that people sneak in some afterlife themes, like Grey's Anatomy and, you know, some of the more popular shows. So stay with us, and we will be right back.
It is with great pleasure that we announce the formation of the Wimbridge Institute for Applied Research in Human Potential. Dr. Julie Beischel, Director of Research at Wimbridge and one of the premier investigators in the field of mediumship research, reports that the team at Wimbridge will continue pursuing the many unanswered questions that remain in the field of afterlife science. Please go to www.windridge.org to learn more about this groundbreaking research institute. That's www.windridge.org.
Has your marketing pitch been missing the strike zone? Maybe you need a new player to help your marketing efforts. At LNRProductions.com, you'll find a team that can give your broadcast advertising the winning edge. L&R Productions has produced award-winning jingles, radio and television commercials for many businesses just like yours. Radio and television advertising work, but you need the right game plan. Make sure you're getting the most out of your ad every time it airs. www.LNRProductions.com. We'll throw strikes for your business every time.
The American Association of Electronic Voice Phenomena has always been international and concerned with more than just EVP. To better serve the public, the AAEVP is now Association Transcommunication, or ATRANSC. Their new website is ATRANSC.org, and their motto is Objective Evidence of Survival. The directors believe people should know that death is not dying, and what we learn now applies to what we will learn hereafter.
For years, people have been reporting communication from those no longer in our physical world. Historically, science and religion have taught us to ignore such messages. Yet, there is now substantial scientific evidence to the contrary. In response to this, the Forever Family Foundation has developed a sign registry to demonstrate the existence of this other dimension. On our website, people can register signs that they, after passing, plan on communicating to a specific loved one. Upon the registrant's passing, the stored information can be verified by the recipient of these signs. Participants will be taking part not only in a grand scientific experiment, but in providing the greatest gift of all, the knowledge that we survive our physical death. For more information, contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707, or you can find us on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org. Or to register a sign, go directly to thesignregistry.com.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation.
And welcome back to Signs of Life. And our number here is 1-888-815-9756. We've been talking about Hollywood, celebrities, and the afterlife, movies, all sorts of stuff. Getting a little later in the show, why don't we take a call? Fran, we have a caller holding on.
We have Rose from California.
Okay. Hello, Rose.
Hello, how are you?
All right, how are you?
Thank you for taking my call. You know that, I don't know if it was after or before Topper, there was another series based on a famous novel, The Ghost and Mrs. Muir.
And
I don't know how many seasons that lasted, but I wanted to mention also that I've heard that Glenn Ford was a medium, and, his circle of friends was, they were well acquainted with that. Now I happen to be a writer, and I just recently discovered I collaborated with somebody else for a while, or for a long while, and I discovered one thing that in many of our plots we had spirits, and I just didn't realize that it was sort of like a natural thing, and I wonder if many writers feel the same way. I also feel very strongly about automatic writing. I didn't believe a lot of things. That's why I'm surprised now to realize the material and how I just I'm aware now of automatic writing, because there are many things that I couldn't have written, and I know I couldn't have written.
Hmm.
Also, I wanted to share with you guys that I have a brother and his wife, and they both see spirits. But the most amazing thing is, and, of course, probably I'm the only one person that they tell these things. And one of the things that has happened is that they both have seen the same ghost. Because at some point, my sister-in-law said, I thought that I was crazy. And I mentioned it to him, and he'd seen the same thing. So that is absolutely incredible. I've never heard of that. But I got to believe him, because they have absolutely no reason to embellish or lie or anything.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to put that on the table for you guys.
Yeah, I appreciate that. I can certainly understand. I mean, as a writer, it's another form of art. You're a creative person. You're right-brained, means you're more intuitive. So sometimes there's a fine line, as you say, between the words of the writer and the words that somebody is giving you. And sometimes it's very subtle.
Well, I am convinced, looking back at some of the things that I've written, that I know that I didn't, I couldn't have come up with those things. I just couldn't. Number one, there are many that I don't believe or I have a difficult time believing. And also, and as I said, my question really is, maybe other writers do feel the same way. You know, when you were talking about, in other words, that things are not by design, that the Sixth Sense and the movies that you were talking about, some of those things are really things that I wonder if the writer began with a plot in mind, or, you know, if it's by design or just intuition, inspiration, or directors or producers, you know, do feel that if at the end of the project they realize then what they've done.
I agree with that. I think that a lot of time art takes the artist rather than the artist creating the art in a lot of ways. I'm a writer also. I write songs, and I agree with you that sometimes I look back at a song I've written 15, 20 years ago and go, how did I do that? I couldn't sit down
that's right.
and myself do
yeah.
that.
Uh-huh.
And you mentioned writers. You certainly, we talked about Charles Dickens before with A Christmas Carol. Shakespeare, Hamlet's father, appears in the first scene as a ghost.
That's right.
I agree with you totally on that.
Well, thanks so much for sharing.
And there is, you know, this direction, and as I said, I don't know. I don't know about other writers, but looking back, it's like, oh, my God, you know, there were four pieces, and we had ghosts in them, or spirits, or, you know, something that you do not set out to write. In other words, you're not trying to advance the belief. I mean, you didn't start with that in mind, and yet you're doing it.
Yeah. Well, yes, I think also sometimes writers, they start out on a project in a way to bring out their own, work out their own feelings. So, you know, they have these innate feelings and they want to explore them. And what better way than to entertain people in the process? So.
And if you look at the word inspiration, it's basically in spirit.
Huh. Mm-hmm.
All right, well thanks.
You know, it was a pleasure listening to you explore the world of
and we will
television and the movies. You know,
and we appreciate your input. Great ideas.
Have a good evening.
You too.
All right, bye-bye.
Take care.
Bye-bye. Some of the newer entries. Remember, Fran, we were watching a show called Dead Like Me.
I loved that show. I didn't like that they took that off the air.
Yeah,
it's about a girl who is killed walking down the street by a toilet bowl that falls out of out of the
can't
sky.
Can't make
this
stuff up.
Yeah, because it was a comedy, but it took all of the spiritual aspects very seriously within the structure of the show. And so there was some sort of a space station that lost its toilet bowl or something, and it fell to Earth, and it happened to hit her, and she died. And so you see the family, the bereaved family, and how they're dealing with it. And then you see her and how she is now first realizes that she's no longer alive. They play that out, and they also play out now her new role as a helper in
right.
helping people cross over.
Oh.
And I forget the actor's name right away, who was in charge of all of the.
I know who you're talking about.
So many yeah. of these shows that
he did a good job, but I forgot.
He did a great job, He was in charge of all of the dead people whose assignment it was to help people cross over.
Yeah. Well, that's a common theme. Do you remember the movie Always?
Richard
Dreyfuss.
Oh, right.
See that?
Yeah, yeah.
He was an airline pilot, and then he was killed. But he was given a new role to provide spiritists. And spiritist was divine breath to others. Now there's writing for you. You know, it's a different way of presenting how, you know, the role may be to help others. But he when they were talking to him about what, because he was incredulous, you know, what's spiritus, and they said, when he talked about speaking to others, he was told they hear you inside their own minds as if it were their own thoughts. And that's what, how they taught him, and eventually he started helping a lot of people, and he was promoted all the way up to guardian angel, you know, somebody that didn't really believe. So there's so many. There was Made in Heaven, which I, you know, a lot of people have seen it. I don't remember seeing it, but somebody dies while doing some sort of heroic act, and was surprised that even though he was dead, that he still had human emotions. And he found a love interest, a new soul, but it was somebody that had never incarnated. And eventually, the whole premise of the movie is that your next life, when you come back, is based upon the time that you spend in between lives, which is not a new concept. But the writers and producers, they just keep coming, you know. On this
Woody Allen, speaking of that fame, has many reoccurring themes. There was, one of his earlier films, Play It Again, Sam, where Humphrey Bogart comes back and helps him out. And then there were a couple of different movies where he dealt with muses. There was one with Sharon Stone, who was a muse and living in his house, and there was another one, I don't remember the title to these, but where he was an okay writer, so his muse was kind of slovenly. it was pretty fun.
Well, Woody Allen, he would try to have relationships with his muse.
I think a movie a lot of people may have overlooked, but it's also about ghosts, is Beetlejuice.
Yeah.
That was a big favorite of our kids for a while, and so we saw that many times. But the couple had died and then lived in the third floor of the house. And it got very bizarre. But
well, Tim Burton directed it.
Is that why? Yeah. But part of it was, I liked, was when they found out they were dead and there was this handbook they were given and they're suddenly on the other side and it's going through. What would you compare it to, being at
the
airport?
DMV.
That's better. The DMV.
Yeah.
Right. Well, George Burns made those movies. Like those,
oh, that's right.
God,
the Kid and Me. He was God.
But
he did. He was one of, there have been several movies where the old person switches bodies with the young person. And I think George Burns did one of those kind of films as well.
There was one movie that starred somebody that you wouldn't think would be in an afterlife type movie, but it was a very good one, What Dreams May Come.
Oh, right.
Robin Williams.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That was excellent.
There was interesting because he dies and his children die.
Their children die in a car accident where the nanny was driving them someplace, and the mother totally loses it, and his life becomes caring for her, and then he dies.
Right.
And that she gets pushed over the deep end.
Right.
And she kills herself. She kills herself, and so that's where the movie kind of loses it for me. It was a great movie.
Right. To a point, yeah.
Then they do the whole hell thing.
Right.
Because she killed herself.
Right. Well, you know, I mean, so, that depends on how you interpret it. So some might say he travels into the fire of hell to rescue her, you know, but then again...
Well, even before that, when she's contemplating killing herself, he's from the other side trying to make her understand that everything's going to be okay, that he's still there, that he could still help her, and he can't make himself known.
Right. There's that frustration on the other side. I can't get away from that.
But that's probably true. I mean, how many times people go to the greatest mediums who we know consistently do wonderful work and then they get nothing?
Yeah.
You know, and we keep crediting the medium. Yeah, well, they're great mediums, but it's got to be the work of that person on the other side.
Yeah, I think... we have a sense that we've got this life here, which is mundane, and that when we leave this life, it's going to be all huge, glorious, and powerful, and all of that. You can do anything you want. And I'm getting to, the more that I'm reading and studying this, I feel that the next, it's just another step. It'll be yes, from what I've heard, it's beautiful, it's fun, you can go 1,000 miles an hour, but it's still limited. It's not limitless, and I think that's, we're going to find out our limits when we get there.
Now, one more movie?
I was looking, well...
Ghost Town.
I don't know.
It was also a comedy
about
a guy who was a dentist.
Oh, Ricky Gervais.
Yeah.
Oh.
And he gets hit by a bus.
Right.
And
right.
dies.
Yeah.
And his attitude, he gets an attitude change.
Well, actually, he doesn't die. He becomes a medium. And all of a sudden, he's got
spirit all around
him.
Yeah.
Right, he becomes the medium. Oh, it's at the end.
But he did have the attitude adjustment.
Yeah, he did have the attitude adjustment, and he does get hit by the bus.
So, you know,
at the end.
It seems like Hollywood...
Spoiler alert.
Hollywood balances out, you know. So for every tragic movie where somebody dies and they just die, they come up with one where it's counterbalanced, you know, die, and he doesn't really die, or he moves on. You know?
Maybe we should do a study of who the writers, producers, and directors are of all these different...
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was scanning through some of these other people who've had near-death experiences. Elizabeth Taylor, she died on an operating table undergoing surgery. She passed through a tunnel, again, the theme of a brilliant white light. Sharon Stone, again, with a brain scare, you know, a white light experience. The theme of it's not unusual. Celebrities report this white light because it's a common theme in with most experiences. Larry Hagman had such an experience. Sally Kirkland. Tony Bennett, which I didn't realize, you know, he overdosed early in his career and had an NDE and was enveloped by a golden light and a warm glow, you know, which made him make changes in his life. Donald Sutherland had an NDE floating above his body, surrounded by a soft blue light, glide down a tunnel.
And you mentioned Donald Sutherland. Kiefer Sutherland was in Flatliners.
But... Oh, right. Forgot about that.
Flatliners, another good one.
Yeah. Quite a number on this list. Eric Estrada, Burt Reynolds, James Cromwell, Chevy Chase. He was nearly killed. He was nearly electrocuted with a stunt. He talks about losing consciousness, having a near-death experience, went through a period of deep depression, as a lot of experiences report when they didn't really want to come back, and now they have to deal with it. So there are people that talk about it, you know, some celebrities, when they have a near-death experience, it seems to transcend the publicists and their careers, and it becomes all-encompassing, and they don't really give a crap, you know, they'll talk about it. Well, this has been an interesting conversation, and it just shows... a lot of people, they might say, media never talks about these things. Well, they do, and there's so many, you know, great, you know, movies and films. And
Pay attention,
and when you come across one, drop us a line at radio@foreverfamilyfoundation.org, and we can talk about it in a future show.
Okay.
And thank you for joining us, and Fran.
My prayer for the Gulf.
Prayer for the Gulf.
Now let's give energy of love and gratitude to the waters and all the living creatures in Mexico Gulf by praying like this. To the waters, whales, dolphins, pelicans, fishes, shellfishes, plankton, corals, algae, and all creatures in our Gulf of Mexico, I apologize. Please forgive me. Thank you. I love you. That was by Masaru Emoto on May 9th, 2010. And now it's time to say...
Our loved ones are only a heartbeat away.
And science is going to prove it.
Good night, everyone.